Hallelujah. Well, it's going to testify, Cindy. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the mighty workings of thy Spirit in the saints of the living God. We thank you, Lord, that we are on the winning side. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, there's victory in the camp. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for we are moving up within you. We praise your name. We praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray to you, bless and anoint this word this evening. You'll cause my mind to receive from God that which you would give me. Lord, feed my mind from heaven tonight. Give me freedom in the spirit, in this delivery. Unctionize this message. Anoint my mind and heart. Anoint the ears and the minds of those that receive it. In the name of Jesus, anoint those spirits to receive it. We come against every spirit that would block, that would distract, that would cause God's people's minds to wander. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I rebuke every spirit of sleepiness and tiredness. God's people shall be able to hear the message. And I pray that they'll apply it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled the message this evening, Dealing with Increased Demonic Attack. I would like to read a number of scriptures first. I think I'll not take time to read the references. It'll flow better if I just read it. Just listen, if you will. You'll get the flavor of which I'll start to build on. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Be thinking of yourself also along these lines when we're reading. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But I feel, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore we should have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and a snare of the devil. For some are already turned aside after Satan, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Be sober, be vigilant, Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Now we see that the devil and his diabolical emissaries have always been busy. We see that Apostle Paul himself was hindered by them. Hindered from coming, hindered from doing what he wanted to do in the saints. He had fear of the saints because of what Satan was doing and would yet do. And he was greatly hindered by Alexander the coppersmith, whom Satan took advantage of. We find in the scriptures that the devil himself came to a number of people. He generally sends his spirit emissaries, but sometimes he counted the matter of great enough concern that he came himself. Like to be a lying prophet in the mouth of the prophets of Ahab, like to Joshua the high priest, like to Jesus Christ himself, like to Peter when he spoke to Christ. Satan came himself. It wouldn't surprise me a lot to learn in heaven someday that the devil himself came to Dr. Dowie or William Branham. These men were enough of a threat that he may have sent a powerful force. You know, God's people want to get from these men, but I wonder how many really are praying for and upholding them. We really need to be praying for God's people. And the higher position they're in, and the more God moves them, the more we need to pray for them. In these last days, the devil is stepping up his campaign. The roaring lion is indeed going about, seeking whom he may devour as never before. He is deceiving some of the elect. He's especially anxious to deceive those who would be elected from the visible church to be a part of the Shulamite bride and man-child company. The very elect, as the scripture calls them, even as he tried to deceive the untried Son of God in his wilderness experience. The war in heaven that we read about in Revelation chapter 12 was to precede the catching out of the man-child company. For once they were caught up, the war was over, and the court trial where the accuser, the brethren, is accusing us day and night before God is over, and they are cast out into the earth. So prior to the catching out of the man-child company, there was war in heaven. The Bible does not tell us the precise time of the start of this war. It only tells you about the man-child company. It tells you that the man-child is caught out. And then before it tells you that he is in heaven, it just gives you a parenthetical explanation and just says, as a matter of fact, and there was war in heaven, and the devil fought and his angels, and Michael fought and his angels. But we find that they are cast out. We know the time they're cast out. They're cast out when the man-child company is caught up. They no longer can accuse them. They're already God has already counted them worthy and faithful. They have landed in heaven. The trial is over. And then it says, now is come salvation. That salvation which was purchased for us by Jesus Christ on Calvary, being contested by the accuser of the brethren in court. Now that redeeming, Christ paid the price back there 2,000 years ago. He paid a price to redeem us from the pawn shop. The devil, being a very powerful personage, if you want to use that term, spirit being, once being Lucifer, a bright and shining one, a covering, being in a higher position than man, Christ coming as the untried man, Christ having paid, giving himself to buy back man from the pawn shop of Satan, and Satan contested the action and the results in court. And one of his greatest strategies in contesting is the propriety of such an action of a man doing this, and he's coming with the same type of thing he did against Job, accusing us in our position. But finally, and I suppose the Bible doesn't tell us the details, and how he's working, I suppose that he's probably relying somewhat on such things as the propriety for a just God to have him legally saved if he's never going to be experienced. I mean, legally perfect if he's not going to be experientially perfect. But he's going to bring forth experientially perfect people and prove them wrong, and then he's going to be cast out of heaven, and he says, now has come salvation, because now they're finally saved, because now there is no more sin for them, nor any judgment. It's past. It appears that Michael and his boys have stood up the old serpent's beehive hill. From what we see happening today, he's really been stood up. And, of course, we are the prize that they're fighting for. Michael and his angels are fighting. Devil and his angels. What are they fighting for? It's not just practice.
Right.
There's a certain thing they're fighting for, and that is mankind.
Right.
Because God created mankind for him, and the devil is trying to get man away from God to hurt God. The only way he can hurt God is to get that which he... God is love. God loves his creation. The only thing he can do is hurt him by stealing that from him. And that's why you're such a prize to him. It isn't that you yourself are such a prize. It's that God loves you, he wants you, and he can hurt God by it. See, he is so panaros, as the Greek said, so wicked, that meaning that he is so wicked that he is not content to perish in his own corruption and misery and judgment, but he wants to drag everybody else down with him. And we are the battleground they're fighting on. Most of you have noticed that by now. The battlefield is the mind and the heart of man and the spirit of man. Now we have, with the help of angels and God's power and God's word, shook off myriads of demons. We have strengthened our base of operations with righteousness, with new dedications and decisions, and with angel missile batteries. They've been very handy. The devil's field marshal has had to pull thousands of his ETs off of other campaigns to throw into the frays against Community Chapel and Bible Training Center. I know for a fact, in the spirit, and the things we've been going through, and the visions and revelations and so forth, I know for a fact that the devil has stepped up his campaign against us, has had to bring in fresh troops, which my mind tells me he must have had to pull them off of some other campaign like any military commander has to do. We are experiencing counterattacks, but I want to tell you that we can hold, and we can drive the enemy back if we will use our weapons with vigor in a counterattack to Satan's counterattack. They're all young men who landed in Normandy beachhead in World War II in France, who were so scared, they went under such terrific bombardment, machine gun fire and so forth, that some of them never even fired their rifles for a time. They were running and hiding and in the sand. We have some Christians like that too. They're not firing anything at the enemy. There are Christians out here that do no fighting. All they want is more K-rations to eat. They're in the operation, you know, they're in the beachhead church, you know, we launched an invasion, we're in the beachhead, other people are firing and fighting and going, getting more grenades, and they're working, and they're not firing a shot, but they're eating. The weapon is still clean, never been fired. Either that or it's full of sand. We need to counterattack Satan's counterattack. Now, I want to tell you the weapons that God has given us to use. I'm going to name three weapons. Now, you need to know how to use your weapons. And you need to use them with vigor. Okay, there are also people in the war that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn because they were just firing in the general direction of any noise or personage or rustle of bushes or anything. In other words, instead of taking aim and making the bullets count, they were just spraying the airway, see? And that is not how to fight. We need to be more specific and zero right into each particular demon, nail them. Now, our weapons are faith grenades. We need to take that faith. We need to throw the faith at the enemy and blow up his Lord, everyone that is coming in, you know, everything he's got, though, we need to really get in and use our faith grenades.
Right.
Next one, pardon the homely setting that I put this in, but perhaps this will relate to some of you a little bit more, and you can remember it a little bit. Get the idea. Can we talk about, let's say, oh, faith seems so weak. You know, prayer is, what's prayer? You just be talking. No, my friend. We're talking about prayer burp guns. Now, burp guns, for you ladies, most men know what they are, is a gun that kind of burp when you shoot them, because you fire them like this, you know. And so we had to let out a volley of prayer and just riddle it. They come in an accusation, Jesus doesn't love you, something like this, or any attack on us. We need to get out with prayer and just begin to burp back at them. And the last one I want to mention is intercession rockets. Really go into interceding. Go on behalf of somebody when he's down, we need to begin interceding for him. I want to explain some of the devil's weapons. These are some weapons he's using against us. We need to understand what weapons he's using against us. One of them is oppression gas bombs. He's gassing us with oppression. We need to put our gas masks on, our spiritual gas masks, so we're not smelling his oppression. We refuse to smell it. We refuse to inhale it and take it into us. Let us get us all under this damp. Next weapon he's using is melancholy missiles. They burst and a spirit of melancholy takes over you and you just feel melancholy. And we go around in this melancholy like shell shock, you know. And the next one is prayer traps. You heard of tank traps? He's got prayer traps. Yeah, they're blocking our prayer. They're coming in with power to block prayer. They distract the mind, bring all kinds of other things in, irrelevant things to distract the mind, lethargy, tiredness, anything. They're prayer blockers. So we say, I think I'll go home. You say, good, that one worked. I think I'll pull my tank back and go home and have some chow, see. And the last one I'll mention is hopelessness mortars. They're firing in these mortars, and they're bringing hopelessness with them. Till we just feel hopelessness. Might as well give up. Now, I'm going to tell you, we can't afford to take that from the enemy. I'm going to explain my week in prayer this week, if I may. Just to give you an idea of what's happening here. And I know many of you can equate with this, and you say, it sounds like my prayer week, brother. You know. Now, on Tuesday morning, we came to prayer, and we didn't have all of our battle gear together. We didn't really intercede and break through first. And you see, let me tell you something. Sometimes we go things backwards. What we do is, see, we want God's love and his presence. And at a time when God's love was being given to us and we felt his presence, we just sung the victory. We sung in the spirit. We did so, you know. And so we were singing victory because we had victory in our spirits. We were loving him because he was loving us. So then the next day we come, we want love. So we try to copy the reaction in order to get the thing. And so we're out here trying to sing in the Spirit and do things without the Spirit, claiming the victory without it. We're trying to build the object with a reaction, see? And it's not seemingly working. Well, oftentimes we need to get in and really begin to intercede, coming against those demons, do some warfare, and then break the hold, and then we've got victory, and then you can sing so free because you've got the victory because the demonic pressures are off of you. Now, it is true that we have to be led by the Spirit because of all times. When you're under heavy pressures, you rebuke the devil, and you rebuke him, and you say you rebuke him, and you say you rebuke him, and it seems, you can't seem to be really rebuking him in the Spirit, and he's not going anyplace. And there are times you just begin to love the Lord anyway. So, well, I'm just going to love the Lord anyway. And you just begin to love the Lord. And as you do, God begins to come down and dwell in the praise of his saints and begin to send his angels and begin to bring victory. And then you begin to sing the victory. So that does happen sometimes. But anyway, we went in these sessions, and we weren't using our weapons too well, and there was no power, there was no glory, there was no deep oppression. We weren't being heavily attacked, but anyway, we went in these sessions, and we weren't using our weapons too well, and there was no power, there was no glory, there was no deep oppression. We weren't being heavily attacked, but there was a block, and we just weren't going anywhere particularly. And so I lay down on the floor after a while, and they would begin singing a little bit, and everything was going kind of fine, you know, if you weren't going anywhere, you know. It was neutral, it wasn't negative, there was no big power upon us, we could feel. But the Spirit of the Lord came on me, and I began to sing from my heart. Words, and I can't give them to you exactly, but because it was in triplets, and I don't remember it exactly, but it was something like, though the devil may attack, and though he may buffet, I love you anyway, Jesus, and I know you love me. And over again, I begin to sing that though the devil may attack, though he is blocking, though we can't seem to get through, yet it's all right, because I love you, and you love me. And it doesn't change anything. Just because we can't feel anything doesn't change a thing. I'm in your hands, in your covenant. Everything's all right. You're on the throne. You're watching your child. You're letting him be under a test. It's all right. And when I begin to do that, I begin to release some faith grenades. And all of a sudden, this damp or whatever it was, they fled. They couldn't stand the grenades. That faith just broke it, and we begin to have some victory and praises in the Lord. Nothing super special, but it was broken. That lifted. I immediately felt it lift. I immediately knew when that spirit came off, and then we had a victory. It wasn't great. It wasn't a great super victory, but he was gone. And one particular intercessor was a little discouraged because she wanted to, you know, be able to sing in the Spirit and be able to really move in my behalf. And I felt led of the Lord to encourage her afterwards. And I encouraged her with, you know, these words and telling her that, you know, it doesn't make any difference. It's all right. God is so forth. And I encouraged her and so forth. And then Tuesday night, the Lord, I was being prayed for, and while I was there on my back being prayed for, the Lord revealed to me one of the reasons I was going through some heavy attacks and had been going through these attacks for some time. He revealed to me that there were people out here that had been out of the church in bitterness, and they were deceived by the devil. And they was, and see, to give you just a inchy bit of the summary of the history, they were deceived by the spirit, demons. They had visions from demons. Some of the visions showed that we would, in 2 years, that came to pass, that is, the time was up about a year or two ago, I think it was 2 years ago, that community chapel would fall. Well, that vision didn't come to pass, and the Bible says if a prophet speaks that, and it did not come to pass, be not afraid of that prophet. In other words, what he says is not from the Lord. And they've had visions, they were led, you know, by this spirit, and they have been under maliciously attacking and so forth. Well, we knew at that time that they were praying against us, and they were praying that we would fall and the ministry would fold up and so forth. But he let me know, I received clear revelation. At the first I got it, I thought, well, now this is just coming to my mind. I'm not sure about this, but it became so clear. It became so clear as I talked about it. I guess one reason I said I wasn't sure, because I'm not quite sure why I said I wasn't sure. It was so clear, but I guess maybe because the idea seemed new all of a sudden, it's out of the blue, that because they had been praying against me, they were praying to these demon spirits. They didn't mean to. They thought it was the Lord, but it was the same spirit that was giving them revelation. It was the same spirit that was leading them and goading them and fighting against this place. And therefore, and they were praying against that spirit, whatever spirit that was leading them, thinking it was the Lord, they prayed against it. And therefore, they were released on these missions, and they were coming against me. And you know, we do have the spirits are subject to authorities of the believers, whether we're confused or not, and in a number of areas. You know, just like this demon that said, you know, can I go into somebody else at the chapel? Or can I send me into a Baptist church? Why tell us that if he can just go on his own? But if a believer with certain authority sends him, apparently he has some, I say apparently, he has some rights then to do this. Jesus has given us a lot more authority than we really realize. Like when these demons asked to be cast into the swine, they just couldn't go at random. I mean, they asked us, where shall we go? I mean, see, they're looking for some commandment given by a Son of God who's talking in the name of Jesus. And there are people who, in the name of Jesus, pray against other Christians, and they work against God's people. And God has put certain things in our hands. Even Balaam, you know, when he went out to Cush, you know, say, well, God making a prophet, certain things, God put certain things in their hands, and we need to be careful about these, about this. Well, anyway, and the Lord revealed some other things that I perhaps won't tell you at this time, that some of the devices they were using, some of the things they were doing, and so forth. We came against that spirit, and we came against and canceled their missions, and broke that power in the name of Jesus. Now, that was Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, we came into the prayer group, and I had the most power and faith I've ever had in a prayer group. I mean, I was seething with it. Just power personified. It was faith. I mean, brother, I came in, and there was a sister there praying, the same sister, as a matter of fact, that I encouraged the other day, and I came over, and I began to pray, and out of my mouth flowed a stream, taking scripture from all over, and bringing it, I mean, the Lord just put everything together, one smooth operation, and I had a heart of Jesus for her, and I had power in prayer and faith, and it came, and it did the work, and broke right on through. And then another sister over here, and somebody was praying for her, and she was bottled up and going through some things, and I went over and laid hands on her, and the power of the Lord was on me. I had faith, brother, I mean, and I ministered, and that thing broke, and she wept and wept, and she got free, and it was a significant release. And we began to sing, and the singing angel was there. I mean, he was doing a good job, and I was singing with the singers. I mean, brother, I had volume, I had power, I was uninhibited, I wasn't worried, I was moving in spirit. I just felt like I could whip Goliath and his big brother and his dad too, you know. I mean, I really, you know, I had the spirit of the Lord on me. And all the afternoon, I mean, I just felt great. I never felt so good, you know. That was Wednesday. And then, I guess it was Thursday morning. Thursday morning, we went into the prayer again, and there was a heavy damp. I felt fine when I walked in. I was studying before I went in, and the word of God and so forth, I felt fine. I walked in feeling good, and the longer I stayed there, the worse I got. And I got so sleepy that I could hardly hold my eyes open. This is in the morning. Power of sleep was upon me, tired. I mean, it was a thick, heavy, enormous blanket over, you know. And it was just like it was really hard to get anywhere. And finally, at the very end of it, we talked about what might be the problem. She had something, and I didn't think it was. And I had two or three possibilities, and I doubted that. And we prayed against them anyway. And, you know, because the Lord showed me a while back, and I already relayed this, I'll make it very brief, that during these battles, I said, well, maybe because I was doing this, or maybe because I didn't do this, or maybe this, you know, and God says, you know, and so forth. And then the Lord revealed, and it's one of the things that I told his sister, because what God revealed, and that was, I guess that was the morning he revealed it, that Tuesday morning, was, well, I guess it was two things. I guess, first of all, back before that, I relayed to you, the Lord revealed, because I was practicing superimposing myself in this vision that Jesus gave me, you know, of himself as light and letting his love flow, practicing that, for that reason, the devil made a big counterattack and brought a lot of forces against me. Now, the Apostle Paul, now, why, you know, he was beaten, shipwrecked, stoned, you know, abused and persecuted. Now, what do you think it was that Paul did? What could it have been? What weakness did he have? What didn't he do that he should have done? The reason is he was working for God. And God showed me because I was doing that. Well, Tuesday morning, again, he showed me that we don't need to be condemned and look in ourselves and accept self-condemnation and say, well, I was a weak in this and I didn't do that quite right and so forth. You see, God made it clear the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins, and all sins are imputed to him and his righteousness are imputed to us. And we are in God's will, and just because we don't know whether it's a demon or not, and we're confused. See, the analogy that came into my mind was, we have little children. And we don't say, well, our little children is confused by the neighbor boy, so we don't love him, and we're not going to feed him tonight, and we're not going to love him, because he's confused by the neighbor boy, and because the neighbor boy is wiser and smarter, and he doesn't know, and because he's weak and he can't quite handle it, and he made some little mistakes, therefore, we just shut ourselves off. Now, if we don't do that, God, who is love, surely is not going to do that. Particularly after he so loved the world, even when they were sinners. And particularly since Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save. And particularly since Jesus was the one who said that we ought to forgive each other 70 times 7 in a day even. Surely, he is greater than that. And even he said, if our hearts condemn us, he's greater than our hearts. And he said, and Paul said, we aren't even to judge ourselves, because he said, I judge not even myself. And he's teaching this. We're not our own, we're bought with a price. And so, you see, the devil's been tricking us, and we're always turning into a good. And then, see, the devil puts, first the body comes on you, and then he turns around and blames you for it. Now, well, remember when you did that and you flared up at your husband this morning? Well, that's the reason the Lord's not blessing you. You flared up at your husband this morning over the burnt toast. Don't you know that? Yeah, I told you. You told the Lord. You told the Lord the other day you was not going to do that anymore. You did, see? You did. No wonder you, see? No wonder. And you see, they take away our weapons until we can't operate. And God said, we don't need to do that. I am always with you. You're in my will. I love you. I'm proud of you. You're making progress. You're growing. I'm not putting myself on and off on you. I am always for you. I am with you. See? He's saying, come on, son, go get him. See? He doesn't turn some of the time and say, sick him, dog. You know? It's the other way around. And so, Thursday, anyway, near the end, I begin singing these songs I just said, would you sing another one? Try a different one. I couldn't enter into it, didn't minister to me. I said, try another one. I said, if you don't mind, I said, I'm not sure about all this, but I said, just keep trying one until something catches and starts ministering to me, since this is the whole idea. And he's not ministering for some reason. And so they said, fine. And they understand that we've been together, you know, like this, you handle that, and nobody gets upset. And they just went about four of them, and finally I said, that's it. And I began to minister. I began to feel freer. It began to release. It got some measure release. And that was it. And that afternoon, I felt a melancholy spirit on me. And my wife did too. Maybe mine reached over onto her. And I was out, and everything was fine. And it wasn't heavy. It was just a melancholy spirit. And never got completely released up that morning. And had a wonderful the night before. Just like Elijah. You know, he went to Mount Carmel. Boy, he whipped the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth. And then he was dishing, you know, he's down there moaning and groaning and complaining and saying, Lord, take my life. After a great victory, he had a terrific demonic attack. And so there was a demonic attack here. And with all the principles we follow and everything we do, sometimes those things are hard to battle through. And I mentioned to my wife, I have a melancholy spirit. And she said, I do too. And she said, there's nothing wrong. You know, she said, there's nothing wrong, you know. And we rebuked it and kept on, but that thing, it lightened up. It kind of backed off a little bit. But it was kind of, you still feel the effects of it a bit. And that evening before, that was Friday. It was Thursday. Because we were going to the elders' prayer meeting that night. And we lay down to get about a half hour rest before we did. And as I was laying down there, and I was resting, I just said, I rebuke you, you spirit. Boom, he left, just like that. I know exactly when he left. I was very quiet about it. And I don't know when it happened that time. I'd been rebuking them all during the daytime. This missile happened to hit right smack on target. I have no idea. I have no idea why at that time it happened. I guess maybe the golden vial just got filled up and they just tipped over and spilled out. You know, sometimes you don't know. Something happens, you say, well, you know, I've been praying, I've been wrestling, and all of a sudden it just happens. All of a sudden I pray and the disease goes. All of a sudden, I don't know what happened. I mean, I don't know why, you know. We know what happens. God comes down and moves, but we don't know why he elects at that time. And that thing was gone. And I came to the elders' prayer meeting. I felt fine. I felt good. I began to minister to another brother, you know. I felt free. Everything was going good. I feel wonderful tonight during the day. But you see, there have been some attacks during the week. Now, as I've showed this to a couple of people, they said, you know, the same thing's been happening to me, and I've been talking to so-and-so in an all-prayer group. We're getting the same kind of oppressive attacks, and they're coming in, and I'm going to ask you now, how many of you are getting these very oppressive attacks come upon you, and melancholy spirits and oppression? Well, see, just, well, I mean, I guess we understand one another. See, it's happening. It's happening in this body. We are under attack by oppressive spirits, melancholy spirits, and a lot of other spirits. Anything that's negative, damp. Some people find themselves, they begin to hate themselves. I mean, they begin to find themselves, I hate the way I'm talking. You know, gripe. And down in their heart, in their mind, they're thinking, I don't know, I mean, I don't like to be like this. But I just feel gripey, you know? But negative, argumentative, defensive, you know, negative, damp, you know, nothing's right. You don't like it. You kind of suspect it's demons, but it's kind of hard to raise up and fight. Something just says, oh, leave them alone. Don't fight. I mean, this is hard to even get going. See? Those spirits come upon you. Brother told me, maybe didn't mind me telling this, one of the security officers. And this fellow, he really loves me. And I love him and I appreciate him. He prays for me. And as he's driving around, he drives down a couple times. I'm just real close, half a mile down the hill. He just drives down, checks the parsonage a couple times, and prays for a couple minutes and comes and drives back. And this fella, you know, he's been trained in the Green Beret outfit and jungle fighting and all that type of thing, you know. And yet, this is a new kind of spirit, demon. An enemy. He said, the spirit comes down on him. He could drive my driveway. He said, then, whoom, he gets attacked. Fear sees him. He said, he felt like running. And he has to get a hold of himself. He said, the spirit comes upon him. He said, I'm going, ah, I'm going to play. He said, I couldn't even talk. I couldn't even bring anything out, you know. And I've had other people tell me that. And people say, not how I feel fear, demons coming and so forth. I mean, they have run around that place. They have come to attack me. Now, I'm not going, and I'm not under this. You know what I mean? Because God has angels with me. And I'm not listening to them. But they're not without some influence. Who knows what we would be without their influence? Even though we're strong in the faith, we battle and we keep up, they are still slowing us down. There are some influence. And we've got to recognize they're there. And God revealed to one sister who's had revelations that have proved themselves over the years that certain things were happening. I think maybe I won't tell you. The enemy has been working in, and some of the reasons, some of the things, and putting hexes on and so forth. We had a witch. So I was told the other day, came in this place. Somebody had seen her downtown, all painted up like a witch, and they saw her walk in this building. And so this person goes over to the usher and says, that person is a witch. Watch him. Now, what you really should be doing is recognizing that the pastor should know what's happening in his assembly. And it shouldn't be happening between you and the usher. You should let me know what's happening in case I want to take a different action than you. Because I don't think you ought to let witches in this place. And now I realize this person comes in looking okay, and what grounds should you throw them out? Well, you know, you go up to them perhaps and say, I saw you today downtown. You know, you dressed as a witch. You're a witch. We don't want you in this place. We do not allow witches in this place. And if you're positive of your grounds, if you're absolutely positive, you need to say, I'm sorry, but you're not welcome in this meeting. Of course, you ask some questions first, you know. What is your name? Have you come here before? Why have you come here? Are you a witch? I saw you today. Weren't you down here so forth? When you painted up this way, I saw you so forth. You're not allowed in this place. We don't want. And after a while, come to the platform, she began doing this at the platform. And then they went and got her and took her out. Been trying to cast a spell on us. Well, we need to get them out before they cast spells, not afterwards. See? She went to Warfield. Come all the way out here to cast a spell on us out here at the pulpit. She went to attack, my friends. She went to attack. This is war. You understand? Put your dandelions down. We're not going to make any change right now. This is war. There is a real need for a concentrated effort to break the powers that have been hovering over this church. I mean, we've been doing well in the Lord. Yes, we have, under the circumstances. But what would we be without the enemy on us? I mean, God wants to move us. We have enough angels. I'm going to just make this, you know, offhand statement. This is not a statement based on fact, but just based on faith. We have enough angels that if it was not for the demonic hordes, the fallen angels resisting them, we'd be in the glory by now, way in the heavenly places. We need to call for more reinforcements. See, won't God send them anyway? No. You receive not because you ask not. Principle number one. Remember this principle? Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will thrust out workers into the vineyard. Why pray that he'll put out workers? Doesn't he know it needs it? Won't he send them out? He says, no. See, he has given this work over to man. For us to have dominion, and in Christ Jesus, we are to have dominion and be the representative of the image of God and walk in his likeness. And he's put it in our hands. God can do anything he wants all by himself. But he has seen, as the scripture says, through the simplicity of preaching to save souls, when he could do it by himself, he uses man. He wants to use man and angels in the winning of souls. And therefore, God has restricted himself and waited till we call. And he says, command ye me the work of my hands. God has put himself in a position, well, for reasons I'll explain more fully later, not tonight, well, we need to recognize that we've got authority. We are God's sons. He's invested authority, and he won't do everything himself. And we need to recognize it, and we need to use that authority. We need to have concentrated effort. We need to call for more reserves from heaven. We need to fight with fury with every weapon we've got. We need to refuse every attack. We need to repel every attack. We cannot lay around and make daisy chains while we're getting attacked. And sleep. Many of us are like what happened up in Adak when the Japanese attacked Adak. Many of those men got bayoneted in their sleeping bags. And they couldn't get out of their bags. You couldn't unzip them. They were stuck and it was cold and frozen. And they came so fast they couldn't get out in time. They got bayoneted right in their bags. Of course, they learned from that. They learned to make zippers that you just give one yank and they go off the zipper so you can get yourself right out of there. Now, somebody, I don't know about this one, but how many people here have pulled a muscle or a tendon or something unreasonably in the last few months? Stand up. Stand up. Everybody look around. Look around. Look around. We probably have 300-400 people here. Maybe not that many, but there's lots of people pulled muscle tendons in the last 3 months. Now, how many of you that are standing, signify by raising your hand, that you do this every 3 months, you pull a tendon? Every 3 or 4 months, you pull one. Okay? Few, but not many. A few of you, every few months, you're pulling one. It's a number. Okay, sit down, please. Now, somebody was telling me, Pastor, I think we must have a spirit that is coming at this time to begin to make people have accidents. We prayed for this brother the other day who snapped a tendon during basketball. I made a logical assumption that he was doing a violent action, and I played the coach a little bit and told the team, you warm up, team, don't you go flying into action. I was told later he was just making a little simple layup when basketball, just trotting down the floor of the layup and go pop, because there goes a tendon. And, you know, my excuse of stepping off of this curb in Greece, it was ridiculous. And I have seen in other areas, we have noticed patterns with demons. We have noticed, we've warned you about them on several occasions.
One of them that was affecting women, wives, one that was affecting husbands. And no sooner did we get it solved with one, and boom, it'd break out in another one. And we did get it solved, and boom, it'd break out in another one. And we told you what caused it, and they would come upon you if you did this, and people did it, and boom, it came on them, and it was just going on like just like that. You know, it's like it was popcorn in a bowl. And it's possible. Now, we need to come against this thing. Would you stand, please? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come against accident-prone spirits that would come to make us vulnerable to muscle injuries and ligament injuries and tendon injuries. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave this body. I take authority over you in Jesus' name. We bind together and rebuke you, Satan. And the Bible says, rebuke to Satan and he shall flee from you. We rebuke you. We command you to go. Leave. You have no right. We cancel your mission. In the name of Jesus, we command you. We break your power. We bind you in Jesus' name. We take authority over you in the name of Jesus Christ. We use Jesus on you. We use the name Jesus against you. And you're defeated in Jesus' name. Amen. Heal your people that have been so affected in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the target of the month, I'm going to designate this month is Lynn Newby. She's been under ferocious attack, and she's not going to make it if she doesn't get released. I would like to order all the troops under my command to immediately begin using your prayer grenades on her behalf. I want you to begin praying daily, rebuking spirits. She has been attacked by vicious spirits that are trying to take her life. Come against spirits of death, etc., etc. There are things involved here that maybe because of the place they've lived and they've moved out. We don't know the details exactly, but there are reasons to think lots of things. Things in the cult, maybe in the old Indian burial ground, a lot of other various things. The owner of that place had been in the occult, practicing the occult, and she'd been going through major diseases, one after another, after another, after another, like nobody gets. And terrific attacks, and I want you to come against that, as you would have people come against it for you, that you get delivered. Now, in the last 4 years, approximately 400 to 500 people have either dropped out of this church or been put out. We put out more people in a year than most churches have who have existed for a long time. Now, you see, two things are happening. God is moving in this place. We mean business with God. Hello, maybe. It's good to see you out there. God is moving in this place. The devil's scared. He is scared. They are fretting and sweating and down in the strategy room. They're worried. And rightfully so. And the Lord has revealed that. That's why they've been bringing in more troops and fighting. They're worried. Now, and you see, they're worried what I might do, for one. Because I'm the pastor, and as the pastor goes, the church goes to a great extent. And they're afraid. God has given me tremendous promises. I have had so many promises, and there's been a heavy attack come down to blockages. They are just pure blockages. I mean, we they're right overhead, and we pray, and finally they dispel a bit. And we've seen visions of it. We've experienced it. We've felt in the spirit. We've known in the spirit. We've revealed it. We've fought against it. And I feel, and I've brought this to you before. And see, we need to get serious about this. I mean, are we preaching and claiming to believe something we really don't believe? Do we really believe what we're talking about and what we're working with? Well, if we do, we'd better get serious about it. We'd better get serious about it. I have asked you to really pray on my behalf. And I know many of you have stepped up your prayer for me, and you're really praying, and I deeply appreciate it. I want everybody to really pray for me. It isn't that, well, he doesn't need it. I need it. I'm getting attacked, brother. I'm getting attacked. With all the strength that I do have in the Lord and the angels I do have, he is sending hordes of attacking spirits. I know you don't want me to go under. I'm getting attacks. I don't want it to constant. I don't want to constantly have to... See, I belong someplace uphill so God can do what he wants to do. It's being hindered. We are being delayed just like Daniel was delayed. And the saints' work was being delayed by the prince of Persia. The prince demon of Persia. And we are getting delayed. God wants to move in tremendous victory and power, and it's being held off. In fact, we would have had... I feel that... I was telling you what was happening around the corner. I believe, and the corner kept getting so big, I believe that that would have happened much faster had we not had all these delays, demonic pressures, and blockages brought. If the people had rallied and really prayed, we would have broken through a lot sooner. We could have had this much sooner. We are behind schedule. And the Bible says concerning the last days, redeem the time for the days are evil. Now, people come into this assembly because of your witnessing. Keep witnessing. That's beautiful. That's what this church has been built on, is witnessing. That has been the only really super effective thing, is witnessing. Keep witnessing. We get a lot of converts. We lose 50% of all that we get. We get them in. We immediately attach new convert counselors to them. We take them to the programs. And what we're finding out is they're not leaving because they don't like the church, because they don't feel loved, because they don't like the lessons, because they don't believe the doctrine. They leave because they're unwilling to pay the price. And you know they're under demonic attack when they come in here. See, they come in and get a fresh demonic attack that they're not used to. And they don't like the feeling, and so they leave. Because you see, when they're yielding to the devil all the time out in the world, they don't feel anything. They're not fighting him. And then when they come to give themselves to Christ, the devil fights them, and they feel a pressure against them. They're not used to fighting this pressure. And they try to hold on a little bit, and they just collapse and give up, and they go out. The others were putting out because the devil has been fighting them, and because they have not followed what we have told them to do and made sure they get deliverance as fast as they can and really establish a prayer life and a love relationship and really get moving and really put power in this thing, because they have dilly-dallied, they have become set up by the devil. He has a setup for every single person. I want you to know, think about you now. The devil has a setup for you. He is causing things to happen in your family, the church, your body, the pastor, the elders, whatever, to set you up at a given time. So if you don't take care of things when that setup hits, you're going to get it. For example, you have your independent spirit. And you seem to be getting along all right with your independent spirit. Nobody's throwing you out. You're a little independent. And a little unsubmissive. And, you know, there's a little tendency to rebel, but it's not really, you know, it's kind of held down. So he's not bothering you too much. So you let him go. You know, you make kind of detente with him. But then you fall in love with this girl, and you come and you want to get married in 2 months, because your marriage is going to be different than everybody's in the whole chapel, and in fact, the face of the whole earth. I mean, yours is different. You are the exception. And you know, because you're madly in love, that solves all problems, and nothing else makes any difference. And so we won't do it. And so at that moment, that rebellious spirit rises up and says, "You called? Nobody's going to tell me. Who do you think you are trying to tell me who you're going to marry and when? I mean, I'll tell you when you're going to marry and when I'm going to and what I'm going to do, and you just do it." See? They don't seem to understand. And these demons feed their mind and say, "That's not a pastoral prerogative to decide if you marry somebody or not and who you marry. And for the, you're just trying to look after people's safety. You can't do that. Look out for the flock God gave you. I mean, the sheep are supposed to run free. What makes you think you're a shepherd?" See? They're confused. They got demons on them because they did not get rid of that thing. At an opportune season, the devil nailed them. And then we said, "Well, you either, you know, if you won't, they rebel and leave the church, Or in some cases, people, they fall into sin. They will not do what we ask them to do. And they continue in this thing. They get themselves in this place, and we put them out. We put them out. You know, you read the bulletins. So-and-so's put out. So-and-so's put out. So-and-so's put out. We're putting people out. You know what we're putting them out for? For the very same thing we're going to put you out in a few months when you fall in love and start fornicating and won't quit. Because the devil comes on you. Because you haven't taken care of this lust area of your life. Because you haven't nailed down that thing from your past life and got rid of it. Because you haven't sought deliverance and really come against it. Because you're playing with the thing. Or some other area. And therefore, you are going to be set up and you're going to be next. You say, well, not me. That's what they said. That's what they thought. They never thought it was going to be them. And we're not throwing people out for every little careless action, every little sin and slip. We're not doing that. We're bearing along with them. We work with them. We admonish them. We forgive. But eventually we say, that's it. Or the first time when they come and say, I'm not listening to you, whenever we hear that, it's all over.
That's right.
We say, if we are not the authority, if you do not take the scriptures to obey them that have the authority over you and submit, for they watch for your souls, when you now say, you are not the authority, I will not heal, it's over with. You are now dismissed. Unless we can be your pastor, you cannot continue. We will not have a church loaded with rebellious people, independent Laodiceans. This is not going to be a Laodicean church. Now, you see, the devil is working. Now, it's a shame, because those 400 or 500 people did not have to be put out. And they're hurt. They're hurt. They have suffered a great deal in many ways. Now remember, I told you four years ago, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. There are some of you right now, your tree is being shaken. And demons are trying to reinforce your desires and wants. There's a person right now that I'm looking at who is, I'm not going to let you know who I'm looking at now, when, but I made sure he caught my eye. This person's in trouble and doesn't know it. Some of you are in trouble and you don't know it because you're trusting what your brain is telling you under demonic attack. And you don't know what you're doing, and your problem is you are not submitting to your pastor who's watching for your soul because you want to argue with him. You want to argue with your counselors because you feel, brother, you cannot trust those demonic feelings. All your rationale says this, but our counselors will line up from wall to wall to tell you differently. And unless you believe them and follow them, you're going to get hurt like the others. I've explained before, the safety has come to those that said, I will. And I got people here that would testify to this effect. Say, pastor, I would have been gone. Congregation, I would have been gone. If I did not have confidence in this pastor that God put over me, had enough confidence in God to know, believe him, that when he put him over, that he would lead and that he knew what he was doing. And if I did not throw away in that moment, did not say, all right, if you say that it's a demon, if you know for sure, pastor, if you know that this is wrong, I will submit, although my mind can't see it at all. They say, that was my safety and I came out of it. There are those who would not, they knew regardless of what I said, and they're gone and demonized.
Right.
Demonized.
Right.
That's right. Demonized. Some of them have ruined their life horribly. Horribly. Some have gone to an insane asylum. One of them shot himself, went to divorce, messed their life up because they would not heal. Now, about 11 years ago, just about exactly 11 years ago, after a particular type of meeting, I remember this situation. I said, in 10 years, this was not a prophecy, but in about 10 years, we are going to see tremendous increase in demonic attacks and demonic activity. And that time has lapsed, and it's come to pass. You that have been here that length of time know we were not suffering the demonic attacks like we're getting now. Of course, we weren't getting rid of them either. They were laying low. But we were not getting the attacks. The fight is on. See, the fight is on. A few years ago, I said that a new move of God was just around the corner, and it would lead to a new emphasis. I said that I've been constantly admonishing you to quit sinning, been preaching, and this is going to soon come to an end. Not that we'll ever tell you to quit sinning, stop telling you that. Not that we won't keep preaching righteousness, but this emphasis, this constant emphasis God was putting in me, warn you, last time warning you, get ready, get rid of those things, come against those spirits, hang up on the devil, etc., etc., etc. And I said, there's a new move of God right around the corner. How many remember that? And I knew the preaching was going to be different, but I kept getting these, he hasn't given me permission yet. He hasn't given me permission. I'm still with it, but I know it's right around the corner. I knew this by the Spirit. I didn't realize how big the corner was. Oftentimes when God tells us something, we think it's sooner than it is. Well, we turned the corner, and this has happened. And I also said and warned those who rebel against God's authority, and the thing that was happening at the time, and against God's word, would lose their light. They would lose their light and would not know what they knew before, and some would become demonized. Now, just for your edification, for your warning, and for your understanding, I give you just some bottom lines. We know there were people who walked among us. I'm only going to mention one name tonight, the name of Daniel Markham. Now, he's not the worst case, and therefore I mention his name. I love that brother.
Yes.
I still love him.
Yes.
I believe that God's going to bring him back. I saw him in a vision. That was the person I saw when I was that love of God, and he broke and couldn't hold in the vision. Now, unless God's using that as a hypothetical, typical case, which I don't think God does, I would expect to see him back in the fold someday. But you know that brother. He's a graduate from his Bible college. He's given up the unfolding revelation of God. He now says Pentecostals are cults. He no longer claims to be a Pentecostal. He's into some kind of an intellectual Christianity. And he's just started pastoring a church just real recently. He's been writing in newspapers, got a whole stack of his articles. Been running this little thing for kids down there, free pool, free foosball, free movies, Christian rock concerts, and worship for all faiths. You see how far he's fallen?
Yes.
He's fallen. Big shaggy beard. I talked to him for several hours. No anointing. He tried to pray. No anointing at all. Something's happened. He lost the light. Because God gave a message over him when he left this place. And God warned him and said, you keep submitted to this pastor or you're going to get hurt. And he cut off submission on a report he got. Just a report. And he got emotionally shook. He did not do it. He did not hear what the Lord said. And boom. He lost his ministry. He lost his health. He lost his encouragement. And he went into darkness. Now, there was another person who was in this church. He went out to a minister's home the other day. I won't give you the details of what he was doing there. Finally, and refused to leave. And finally, the police showed up. And he told the police. I read the police report that we have. One of our security officers was there. And he called the police. And he told the police, the Lord wants him dead, and so do I. And the police said, if you don't leave, and he said, I'm not leaving. And the police said, if you say that again, I'm going to arrest you. He said, I'm not leaving. So they arrested him. Now, you see, anybody in his right mind, having the option of going home and being free, and he knows, you know, when a police says you're leaving, you know. And so, they won't have it any other way. Now, so you get your choice between going home and being free or going and being arrested. Now, see, it's going to be demonic. See? Demon spirits saying, I'm not leaving. And so, used to following demon spirits, that they just say whatever the demon spirit says. You ever see the guys go out and do dumb, stupid things and get themselves in big problems and say, well, I don't care, throw me in jail, I don't care. So they just throw themselves in jail. Spirits inside are doing this. And they're so used to following it, they don't know what they're saying. You know, you hear about saying things you hate yourself for in the morning? That's because demons, you're under demonic attack. And husbands and wives say things they don't mean at all. Then they can't convince the other one later they didn't mean that. Because the person said, well, that's in your heart, you meant it. They didn't realize demons meant it. Another fellow said that he was going to buy this particular rifle and do me in. He said it was split a hog's head at so many feet and so forth. He was in this church. You see, murder, threatening murder. You see, spirits coming upon people like this. Another fellow, down, dabbling, getting a balance, getting a scale, getting Hebrew letters, getting all kinds of things together. Now, say what you want. Down here, it looks to me like he's trying to cast a spell. This fellow is studying a cult. He's been in this church, studying a cult, studying it, writing on it. Another person in this church, he left his wife to join and live with a homosexual. You see what's happened? He was concerned about sin in this church. He goes out and leaves his wife and joins a homosexual and now divorced. Another girl left this place. She also goes live with another homosexual. Two of them together go and live with each other and leave their husband. Another one goes out as a homosexual and messing her life up and living in terrible sin and alcoholic already. Now you see, these people, now out here, the other ministers, hearing them talk, they think, oh, they've gone out and they're all concerned citizens that don't like the bad government of Community Chapel. And so they're out just trying to awaken the law and citizens. Their lives don't show that at all. It shows something entirely different. Now, we prayed for God to stop them. And we kept praying, And I wasn't, you know, I prayed this way. I wanted God to stop them, and yet there was a certain check about really going. I did not feel to ask God to bring, you know, a certain thing. And the Lord spoke one time and said, to my wife, we have not stopped them for a reason. And I thought, well, maybe that reason is because you wanted to bring them back in again. And but then later, the Lord said, because, and this happened this other night, because they have prayed against you, oh, this happened some time ago, because they have prayed against you, I will bless you. Now see, in the scripture, the Bible teaches there's precedent for this. It said that he used Babylon as a rod against Israel, against Judah. But because they overdid it, he said, I will punish you and bless Judah. God tells us, through much tribulation we shall enter the kingdom of God, and when we push you to leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. The more the devil beats you, the more he says, all right, I'm going to pile up another chunk of gold for you. He beats you again, all right, so there'll go some more for you. Great is your reward in heaven when the devil persecutes you. God's piling it up for you. And even in this life, there are things he will do. He will bless us. When the devil beats on us, he blesses us all the more. Well, this brings a new understanding. You see, Christians have not wanted suffering at all or persecution. In fact, there are groups going around just blessing packs. Everything is wonderful philosophy. But Paul said that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection being made conformable unto his sufferings. And so we need to recognize that we do need to suffer patiently like Christ. But as we suffer for Christ, he then is building something in us. He's building spiritual mental. The more demonic attacks we get, the more our prayer life increases. The more our prayer dependency, more dependency on God increases. The more victories we get. You know, there's no victory without a battle. You ever heard of a tremendous victory when there's no battle? And the more determination we get. We get determined against these people. They get pressing us hard, we get determined. And then, when God comes in, he sends his angels, he gets visions and revelations, our spirituality grows, our faith grows, our determination grows. We are getting stronger in the Lord. When the devil comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him, the scripture says. When saints flock to that standard that God raises up, they're saved from the enemy. And Jesus is that standard. He is the standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he raises up Jesus Christ to be the standard, and we are to be like Jesus Christ. That's the standard. We are to rally about him. We are to rally about his ensign. in His name, and we are to follow Him. Take up our cross and follow Him. There's another manuscript variation in Hebrew, and that is, the Spirit of the Lord will drive on against him. When the devil comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will drive on against him. Now, you see, we cannot help but win if we stay true to God and submit to our commander over us. We cannot help but win. See, the devil is only fighting a real God action. I feel certain that when the devil is fighting and his angels against Michael, they're not hoping to win. They know they can't win. These demons have already said to Christ 2,000 years ago, "Have you come to cast us into the abusos before our time?" They already know they've got a lot of time. They already know they're losers. The Word of God says so, and they can read. And they know God, and they know God is true. They know they've got no hope of winning. But they want to drag down as many as they can, harass as much as they can, slow us down, and make it as miserable as possible in the meantime. And they know they're losers. And as a matter of fact, a demon right downhill, and the first person that got delivered, and I was right there when it happened, and the question was asked her by an elder at Chippewa Falls, and said, "What did Jesus do to you at Calvary?" And about the third time he asked it and demanded it, the lip curled and said, "He defeated us." And her name wasn't us. See, He defeated us. They know they're defeated. We are going to win. We have always beat the devil, and we always will. We have gained from where we were. Though he has attacked us and attacked us and attacked us, we have gotten further. We know more. We're moving spiritually. We're going to keep driving him back clear to the very end, unless you become a spiritual dropout. Unless you won't follow the commander and use the spiritual weapons. If you're going to lay in your backside, if you're going to go AWOL, if you won't fight, if you let him come in and just gas, you won't even put your gas mask on, if you will not use the weapons at your disposal, if you will not cry for help on the phone when it's available, then you're going to get hurt. You can die in this battle, spiritually. But if you follow as an obedient soldier of Jesus Christ, you will triumph and be part of the victory parade that marches into heaven one day with glory and victory and honor. And they will say, as they say when the man-child company is there, "For they have overcome by their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb." I want to read you one scripture, James 5:16. Read the first part of it. Just listen to it. "Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed." Now, this word for faults in Greek is hamartia, which means to miss the mark with grave consequences following. The most common word translated, sin. To confess our sins one to another. Now, it's interesting that God's people have not paid much attention to this. Some have tried to do it, but they were not led of the Spirit and has not produced the fruits. But historically, Christians have paid no attention to this. Nobody wants to do it. So we just ignored it or explained it away. And I thought it meant, you have to mean something, and there's no sense. I can't see a reason to walk up to you and say, "Brother, I sinned the other day. I did this and this and this." I mean, because God is my advocate. Jesus is our advocate. We don't have to go. He covers our sins. We don't have to go to one another to tell each other all of our sins. We do. We have a heavenly Father we tell that to. Jesus gave us a prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, forgive us our trespasses." See? And so I thought it meant sins or faults that you did against them, you go and confess that, which is scriptural. That's in the Gospels. And if you did anything against somebody, or they did anything against you, you were to go to them, either way. Now, but we're seeing, I think, a more full meaning and understanding here. Interesting enough, God doesn't directly force us to do anything, but He puts us in positions where you will do it. See? And He's put us in a position to follow the Scripture through deliverance.
And now we're laying on the floor confessing our sins one to another. And we're saying, well, I've got this lust problem and this thing and this thing, and I've had a lot of problems with this. And the wonderful thing about it is, in this context, as we are confessing our sins one to another, nobody's judging them. And instead, they judge the devil, and they get rid of them, and then they're spiritually healed. And I'm not saying they're not physically healed. We don't have physical healing for that, too, because we do. Now, and there may be more to this than what we realize at this time, but typically, if a Christian walks out of the blue and confesses his sins to you, you judge him. But in his own time, you see, God wants things done in the context of everything else he says. And sometimes we try to do what God wants us to do and it doesn't work because we're not doing everything else and it isn't all working together. So then it won't work. You know, you go up to somebody and you that are, you know, spiritual, we still are such a one. So we go up to somebody because they're not in the right shape and because other things are not right. See, forbidden not to speak with tongues or whatever, you know, or if you have a message or whatever, but they won't let you. In other words, because everything isn't operating right, it won't operate. But now God is causing us to do the very thing none of us would ever do. We'd never bring ourselves to do that. But now we're doing it. Now, this is not, and I say this respectfully, this is not the cosmetic taken off the veneer. I was in one of those meetings one time. I happened to, you know, I didn't know I was going to be in one, but I was there, and the other ministers were there, and this is how they tried to follow the scripture. I mean, give them credit, they tried to follow it. But in my judgment, they were not led of the Spirit, it did not produce good results. That's my judgment. Their judgment may be different. But in the meeting that I saw, at least, and so they call it getting the veneer off. And so they would sit there and they'd all confess all the faults and blunderings and mistakes and sins one to another. And they all went through and they thought, this was great. They all taken the veneer off. And time they got done, the only thing I could say was, this is the most carnal group of ministers I've ever seen. They're terrible shape. I'm shocked beyond belief that ministers got these kind of attitudes, these kind of feelings, do these kind of things. I mean, this is a shock to me. And all it did was lower the credibility. The stock went down. I wouldn't buy any stock in that company. It didn't help a bit. It wasn't helping anything. It wasn't helping a thing. But in the context in which we're doing it, it's beautiful. I look at my clock here and tell me what to do here. I'll just say a couple of words and I'll close. Pride is popular, but it's an enemy spy. It's a fifth column agent, as they used to call it, because we think he's one of us. Well, I've got my pride. Ever heard that? They sure do. See? We think it's us. Fear is the devil's knockout drops. You're out when you got it. You get fear and you're gone. Lack of prayer against demons is being AWOL. You're in the army now. And you're way without leave if you're not fighting, brother. Now, I close by saying this. We cannot afford to accept the strong spirits of oppression, melancholy, sleepiness, lethargy, apathy, hopelessness, self-condemnation, negativeness, etc., etc., etc. We cannot afford to be accepting physical attacks as well. I just got a physical attack. It's not the devil, it's just a physical attack. How do you know it isn't the devil? How do you know he didn't bring that a physical attack? How do you know who came with that? And finally, we cannot afford to struggle on without fighting back or without each other's help. See, God is allowing some of these things. This is another thing God's doing. In order to cause us to discern the Lord's body and to love one another and to work together and to become one, because the church has not become one. For years, they all walk into church, they all sit down, they all listen to what happens at the front, they all sing a little bit, and they all get up and they walk out. They don't become one at all. Praying for one another, interceding for one another, is causing us to love one another. Brother, we are building love relationships in the Spirit, and we are being ministered to and ministering one another, and we're becoming one, and God is using this to cause us to fulfill those scriptures. See, in God's grace, because we won't do it, because we can't see how and we won't do it, it's too difficult for us, He causes things to come to pass that causes us so we will do it. I mean, I love a God like that. He's going to solve our problems. He's going to make us so we won't have any trouble praying. And when He's going to take away, when we have no trouble loving the Lord, I mean, He's going to bring things, cause it to come to pass, and we're going to be scared of it and fearful of it, like deliverance, and nervous about it, not want it, but it's going to come anyway, and it's going to be a blessing in disguise, because it'll be best for us spiritually, and we're going to end up strong, and someday He's going to take us away to be with Him because of it. And so I won't get into my last page tonight. I thought it was the last one, and it wasn't. I'm going to look at it even. Yield not to temptation.